As we begin our new series entitled The Number Seven, today we're considering the seventh day from the book of Genesis, the first book of our Bibles, chapter 2. Let's look together at verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. In these simple and yet very profound words, God blesses, he sets aside and hallows the seventh day. There are three things that stand out to me from this passage. The first is that God rested on the seventh day, and so are we. We read here in verse 2, knowing of God's almighty and powerful work, we find that God is the one who, when he had finished his work of creation, that he rested. He rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. When God finished his creative work, the work described in the previous chapter 1 of the 6 days of creation, here on the seventh day, we find the omnipotent God, the one who is never grows weary or tired. We find that this God rests. God obviously has no need of rest in and of himself. He does not grow tired or weary. The Bible speaks of him speaking and even calling forth the world into existence. And the idea here is that God rested in the sense that he ceased from work. He desisted from work. So if God had no need for rest, why do we find in our scriptures this teaching that God himself rested? We find in the Bible, here is laid down a great principle for us. The seventh day is created for man. The Bible describes what in the Old Testament is described as the Sabbath day. The word Sabbath itself means rest. Or the New Testament, the Lord's Day, as a day that God has created for the need and welfare of mankind. We are the ones, are we not, who grow tired and weary. Last evening was talking with my daughter on the telephone. It was only a little after 9, and I found myself falling asleep as she was talking with me about wonderful things happening in her life. Each evening at the end of the day, we are reminded that we need rest. And there is the gift not only of sleep that God gives through the night, but as well a day of rest for us. Even when God gave the commandments in the fourth commandment in the book of Deuteronomy, we read that this need for rest is associated with this loving command and exhortation that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. J.C. Ryle says, it was for the good of his body, the good of his mind, and the good of his soul that it was given to him as a boon and a blessing and not as a burden. So here, on this seventh day, there is laid down a pattern for us. 6 days we are to work. The seventh is a day of rest. God worked with creation on 6 days. Though he himself did not need to rest, he rested. He ceased from work on the seventh day. The seventh day is to be a day of spiritual rest as we draw aside from all the pressures and demands of the workaday world that we're engaged in through the rest of the week. It is a wonderful gift. It is a marvelous and gracious provision of God for our welfare because he dearly loves us and he has made us and knows what our needs are. This seventh day is a day in which we are reminded of what is really important in life. What is to be our priorities? What is it that is passing away? What is it that endures and survives? It's a weekly day to reorient ourselves to the true north of God's gracious and his holy character. This is how the Bible sees it. And we are to look at this day as a marvelous gift, a day of great joy and delight that the Lord has given to us. You know, this passage is a call for us to reorder our schedules, to consecrate, to set aside our timetable, to adopt more of that style which God has laid out in the pattern of this one in seven. The seventh day is created as a creation ordinance, as a gift from the Lord, a pattern of God ourself for us. It's certainly true that the real test of the heart of our true love, our concern for the Lord and our own souls is in relation to this day. Whether we see it as a day of great delight and joy or something of mere drudgery and mere obligation. J.C. Ryle, again, I'll quote Ryle, "Our feelings about Sundays are sure tests of the state of our souls. Heaven itself is nothing but an eternal Sabbath." We need the rest. The Lord Jesus calls us to come to him. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." And in the gospel that he himself is the Savior, he gives us rest to our souls. And he gives us this day of rest for continued nurture and encouragement for our relation with him and for the rest for our own bodies. So the Bible teaches us, our Savior himself, who is described as the Lord of the Sabbath, speaks of the Sabbath was given for man. It's out of our need, out of God's care and interest for us. It was the theologian Augustine who reminds us that God has made us for himself, and that our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee, is what Augustine wrote. And on Sundays, heaven's gates are open to flood our thirsty, our weary, our needy souls with the presence, with the truth, with the grace of our God, the glory of who he is, and a reminder of the blessings that he has showered upon us in our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. The well-known Scottish Presbyterian minister, Robert Murray McShane, writes, "A believer longs after God to come into his presence, to feel his love. There is greater rest and solace to be found in the presence of God for 1 hour than in an eternity of the presence of man." God has given us this day of rest. He himself rested, as described here in our passage in Genesis 2, that we too might rest. Secondly, something that stands out to me in this passage, we read here that in verse 3, that God blessed the seventh day. That God blessed the seventh day for our good. He is the one who has made us. He is intimately acquainted with us. He knows our challenges. He understands our needs. And he is the one who has given us this day for our good. You know, the world makes all kinds of promises to us of what brings meaning and satisfaction and fulfillment. But we know that ultimately, the promises of this world do not satisfy us. This world does not deliver on what it promises. The prophet described it as this world is like a cistern, a broken cistern that doesn't hold water. Or a more modern expositor, not of the scriptures, but of culture, that some in this room might have heard, the Rolling Stones, "I can't get no satisfaction." You know, that's the mantra of this world. It doesn't satisfy us. But God has given us this day for our good. He has given us this day of rest that we might know him and know his love. And as we've come to know Jesus, we have a new aim, a new drive, a new ambition in life. There is a triumphantly new power of Christ in the gospel. The resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is at work among us who believe, so that we now have that longing for friendship and fellowship, that communion and union with the Lord, a whole new vertical dimension to our lives that corresponds with this seventh day. Our delight now is in the Lord. Instead of the passing fancies of this world that are passing away, is not Christ the pearl of great price? Our new heart treasure, the one in whom we delight and long to be with, to extol his greatness and to contemplate his beauty and his glory. This is what the gift of this seventh day is all about. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah encouraged the people of God to find delight in this day. Call the Sabbath a delight, he reminds us. So there's something of great joy and gladness. And I'm not sure if that's what the author, Christopher Wordsworth, of our hymn today was thinking of, calling the Sabbath a delight, when he penned the opening lines of our first verse of our hymn, "O day of rest and gladness." Indeed, it is to be a day, not only of rest, but of joy, of gladness, of great thanksgiving, of joyful praise. I think the real question as we consider the gift of the seventh day is a question of the heart. Do I love the Lord? I recently talked with a couple in our church who have been married for over 50 years. And they enjoy deeply one another's friendship and companionship. They enjoy talking and being together and sharing together in new adventures. We spend time with those whom we love. One of the most insulting things we can say is, I don't have time for you. As we think about the gift of this day, we want to bring adoringly our praise to God, to express the joy of worship that he might achieve his great purposes in our lives. And again, McShane, I guess it's a Ryle and McShane day. We love the Lord's Day because it is his. Every hour of it is dear to us, sweeter than honey, more precious than gold. It is the day he rose for our justification. It reminds us of his love and his finished work and his rest. What do you think of when you hear the gift of this seventh day? Some might think of the word legalism, obligation, duty. That was the way in which many in Jesus' own day, the Pharisees, misunderstood the gracious intent. Instead, it is to be a day in which we find pleasure in God and in the enjoyment of his people. Not a day of gloom or of sorrow, but of true joy, of thankfulness, of gladness. It is the crowning day of the week. It is a precious gift. It is a day that is to be guarded jealously. It is a day that is holy. And that perhaps is a segue into my final point for just a few moments that we find in our passage. We read in verse 3, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy." God made the seventh day holy is my third point. We too are to revere and respect the gift of this day. To make something holy is to set it aside for a very special purpose or use. I think the clearest expression of this to me is an illustration that one of our previous ministers, Dr. Mark Ross, uses, where he speaks of china. You women have some fine china that you use on special occasions, that is set aside and cared for in special ways. Certainly, this is a day that is a cherished day. It's a special day. It's something that's set aside from the others. Not that the other days are unimportant or that God doesn't bless on those days, but there's a special day that is not ordinary or common. Columbia is, in my estimation, known for some marvelous grocery stores. My wife says that we live in the grocery store district. There are many stores not far from us. And many of our spiritual forefathers described the gift of the seventh day as a special marketplace or market day for our souls. In their day, there was a day set aside where everyone would go to market and they would buy and they'd feast and they would celebrate. Just a final quote here from one of those former leaders. "The Sabbath day is God's market day for the week's provision, wherein he will have us come to him and buy of him without silver or money, the bread of angels, the water of life, the wine of the sacraments, and the milk of the word to feed our souls, tried gold to enrich our faith, precious eye salve to heal our spiritual blindness, and the white raiment of Christ's righteousness to cover our filthy nakedness." When we gather on Sundays, when we gather on this seventh day, it is a day of exquisite delight. It is on this day, especially, where we receive the means of grace and grow in our faith, our knowledge, our love for the Lord, and an awareness of his love for us as his word is proclaimed, as his people sing his praise and come together in prayer. Eugene Peterson said, "Sabbath is about God contemplating and resting." blessing and sanctifying it does mean stopping and being quiet long enough to see with open mouth, with wonderful resurrection wonder to cultivate the fear of the Lord. So the Lord has set aside this day. He has consigned it as a day that is to be distinct from the others for his special purposes, a day that is holy. I enjoy reading children's books. Maybe you've heard or seen the children's book, The Best Birthday Party Ever. Well, this book begins, "My birthday is 5 months, 3 weeks, 2 days, and 8 hours away. Today, I'm starting to plan my party." And it talks about, she talks about wanting to have the tallest cake in the world, giraffes, elephants, a Ferris wheel, a castle, 9,000 balloons, a little girl, all in pink. Well, the Lord's Day is a special day. It's a special occasion, a day better than the rest. And we are to cherish it. We are to see it as something sacred, something significant, something of most importance. We find with the resurrection of our Savior that this day has changed. The day which was the last day of the week in the old covenant, with the resurrection of our Savior, we now gather and worship on the first day of the week. Just as we read in our New Testament Bibles, the Apostle John, the age-beloved apostle, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day," and other references to the Lord's Day in remembrance of what Christ has done. We now gather on the very first day of the week in worship that we might receive rest and renewed grace and vigor to work and serve our Savior because of the gospel, the rest of the week. The Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, who were bicycle mechanics, have become more popular in our day with a recent book of their lives that has recently come out, and of their work on an experimental aircraft. They weren't the first to build an experimental aircraft, but they were the first to invent the controls for a fixed wing that was made a powered flight possible. And on December 17th, 1903, just 4 miles south of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, they made the first controlled, sustainable flight of powered, heavier-than-air aircraft for a flight time of 12 seconds. They became instantly famous in a generation where fame became something. They were among the first truly instantly famous people. They were in France at a flying school, and the king of France, Alfonso XIII, the king of Spain, Alfonso XIII, was in France. He wanted to see them fly. And he wanted to see them fly on a Sunday. He learned that the brothers, the Wright brothers, do not fly on Sundays. Their success did not alter their conviction of what is the priority in their life. A Sunday for them was not a day for flying. Matthew Henry, a very wonderful and delightful comment, writes, "The streams of all religion run either deep or shallow, according as the banks of the Sabbath are kept up or neglected. By God's grace, may we be those, by his mercy and strength, to delight in this day, that those banks would be kept up, that we might know the Lord's love, be renewed and refreshed, and delight in our God. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, our hearts give you thanks this day for your love and marvelous provision for us in this seventh day, a day of rest, of gladness, of worship, of fellowship with your people. We ask that you would help us to follow the pattern that you yourself laid down in the day of rest, 1 in 7. For Jesus, our Savior, his glorious and risen name we pray. Amen.